Thanks for tuning in to the Secret Ingredient Podcast from Digital Sandwich, where we believe that everyone has a story behind their story, and that is where the secret ingredient lives. Unleashing the secret ingredient through a combination of personalized custom content, social media, and paid advertising is the very best way to build the relationships that you need to grow your business. With that being said, let's see what's in the kitchen and find out this week's secret ingredient.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome to another delicious episode of The Secret Ingredient. I'm your host, Adam LaFaber. Now, our guest today is a man who's usually holding a camera or a microphone instead of a spatula. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to the podcasting maestro, the Sultan of Sound, the videographer with flavor, Josh Troche.
Well done. Well done.
Podcaster extraordinaire, studio owner. It's actually where we are. We're in your, is it weird to be a guest in your own studio?
A little bit.
Okay. I'm sure we'll dive into this. We'll plow through. It'll be all right. Videographer, photographer, bike builder.
Yeah. Going way back.
Hey, Josh. How you doing?
I'm awake.
Yeah.
I am wide awake. I am sitting here under the lights instead of in the corner in the dark. It's weird.
You know, not many people can be in the same small enclosed room with me and not be awake.
That's true. That's it, just if for no other reason, the floral print today.
Well, the print is the volume.
The sound. It is all loud.
I am loud.
It is all loud.
I am loud, he said.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's, call him like we see him.
You know, that's probably going to be a post later today is just.
You're loud.
Just a picture of me and I'm loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure when this will air, but it's, you know, mid-November here, late November actually.
Yeah.
And, I'm okay wearing this outfit right now.
You are, because you're bringing spring back. Timberlake brought sexy back.
Cold. It's almost 50-ish.
Is that metric?
Yeah, I was cold. Monday I wore a sweatshirt, and you know I don't like wearing sweatshirts. Honestly, pants, sweatshirts.
Do you not
I don't
have Hawaiian sweatshirts?
No, I do have some long sleeves. Okay, and then I also have long sleeve underwear that I'll wear, you know, like the thermal shirts or whatever that I'll wear underneath.
Sure.
As well. So you may see that out and about just to warn you.
Good to know.
But, you know, I don't like whenever I dress down.
So you will still be recognizable.
Yeah, because no one knows me.
No.
Nobody knows who I am. I'm just a person.
No,
I'm just,
if you wore a black shirt, we'd be like, who the hell's that?
Yeah, I'll get the double take at the coffee shop. They're like, oh, Adam. They'll ask me what my name is. I'm like, I'm Adam.
If you wore a normal shirt, I would probably come up and whisper to you, blink twice if you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Are you being held against your will?
Yeah, there's a they.
Yeah,
someone's been taken.
If you ever dress like Steve Jobs, that is the sign. Adam's in trouble.
This is my Steve Jobs.
Correct. Actually. No, I get it. I get it.
It is. I grab it out of the closet. I don't really think about
and
it.
You're
obviously,
fine with it.
There's not a whole lot of thought going on here. It's
no, because the thought went into the purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've got like four different shirts that I wear. It's the same thing. Do I need jeans today, or do I need something a little bit nicer?
Right.
That's the only question. They all go with each other.
I watch the weatherman. He tells me what to do.
He tells me what to wear.
Yep. Yep. Josh, how did we meet?
Through
We've known each other a while now.
Yeah, it has been quite some time. So through Elves and More, the bike charity last year was last year for it.
Yeah, we should be doing that right now.
I know. We should be getting ready for that. It's kind of weird to not
it
be getting
weird.
Ready for that. Because that went on for like 16 years.
Yeah.
But it was through that we were like, hey, so I was doing some photo and video for them just as kind of the donation to them. You were doing the website for them.
Yeah.
And Brian was like, hey, you guys should talk. And we've kind of been friends since.
We
thought I am loud in other ways, and we thought, hey, we get along this way. We both have unique ideas about things that were like, hey, did you get a load of this?
Right.
And maybe a slightly twisted sense of humor between us.
On occasion. Been known to be twisted.
And maybe a touch direct.
Yeah, yeah, there's also the
direct. We talk a lot for people that are very direct. It's interesting.
Yeah, there's a direct quality as well. You know, it would have been 8 years ago was the first time I was involved. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah, and Elsimore, my original partner in the first iteration of the agency, would have been called TMD, the marketing department. My original partner was involved, and okay. So that's how I got involved. We ended up doing the website, and then he obviously went a different direction, and so did I. And I remained, and I think last year we had I think 16 people were at the bike build.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I saw most of the crew there. I'd have to go back and look at the video footage.
Yeah, we had the team and some family. My kids have done it, and you know, the whole shebang. So I'm really going to miss it this year.
Yeah, no, I am too, because I've been involved with it since almost the first year.
Yeah.
I've gone on most of the bike deliveries.
Yep.
I remember when the two founders, Brian and Tim, were talking about it on their bicycles, that's how I got involved, is I used to race bicycles, and the two guys that founded that, that's how I knew them.
Gotcha.
And, was brought in through them and have been doing it for, since almost day one.
It has started to dissipate a little bit as far as like giving the bikes out, and it
changed.
Yeah, changed, and I don't want to blame it on pandemic.
It
feels like that had something to do with it, but something changed.
There was a couple of things, and I see a lot of it too. Is it was life consuming for Brian and Tim, and
sure.
I know especially Brian.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're raising huge amounts of money throughout
right.
the year.
Right.
That they're hoping. I mean, they've got to order those bikes in August.
Yep.
So they've got to hope that they've got the rest of the money before December, when they've got to take delivery of these. I mean, it was. I mean, in many cases, it was like 1,800 bikes, and I mean, 800-900 volunteers in some cases. You do not organize that in a weekend.
No, you don't.
So yeah, the life consuming thing kind of, I think, caught up to some of it, and it's sad. But when I know they said, hey, look, it's time to call it quits, they looked at some of the board members and said, hey, do any of you want to take this over? And they're kind of like, look, this is kind of you guys, this is a lot of your thing. The thing that I see in that, though, is they brought so many people into charity work that may not have found something otherwise. That this year, I've already had people ask me, like, hey, there's no bike build this year. What's something else that I can get involved in?
What are you doing instead?
Yeah. So yeah. I've been able to point them in other directions and be like, hey, get involved with this or get involved with this. And it's doing good.
So just for the sake of anybody that's listening that's not familiar with that program, what was really cool about that, obviously, to your point about the organization, someone clearly was in logistics that did some organizing of that, because it was so well organized from the moment that you arrived, how things were put together, where they went, how they were loaded. I mean, the different components that were involved with the trucking company, you know, to get things where they go, the relationship with the police and, you know, first responders to get where we were. I mean, it was just incredible. But what was cool about that from a nonprofit standpoint, or from a charity work or a volunteerism standpoint, as being a volunteer, and the involvement with the website and the organization itself aside, was the components of what all went into it. The fact that, you know, it would be like serving at a soup kitchen, but you also were involved in making the soup.
Right.
You know, like you were involved in, you know,
100%. You're there.
We would make 3 to 8 to 10 bikes a year. You know, you're making bikes. I'd make one with my kid. I'd make one with the team. I'd make one with my wife, whatever. Like you're involved. Like you, there is skin in the game. You are doing the thing. And then the delivery, right? And only it was weird, because I was in charge of the registration, right? Because of the website. And so I would see the registrations come in, and it's like one third, one fourth of the amount of people that signed up for the build were even interested in the delivery. Yeah. The big payoff, right? The big, I get to give the kids the bikes. That always fascinated me that not nearly the amount of people were interested.
It's funny. My first couple of years being involved, I did not go on deliveries.
Yeah.
Just from the fact it's an emotional thing.
It is. I cried every year. Right. For sure.
To build the bikes was one thing.
Yeah.
You're like, look, I'm helping out. I am contributing.
Yeah. I'm doing my part.
Right.
Yeah.
To go actually hand a bike. I mean, the biggest story that I have from Elves and More is I still remember one year. It was the Mason Park neighborhood. We were out of boys' bikes in this kid's size. The next size down was way too small for this kid. The next size up, the kid was going to get hurt, was way too big. This like little 7 or 8 year old boy's like, we're like, look, all we have left is girls' bikes. And he's like, I don't care if it's pink. I've just always wanted a bike I could call my own. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Anything that you think matters suddenly doesn't. And you're like, this kid is putting himself out there. I mean, he's 8, 9 years old, and we know how brutal 8 and 9 year olds can be. This kid's like, yep, give me the pink bike. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing about what it was also what was being given away because that bike was
freedom.
It was freedom. It was transportation to or from somewhere. That's an after school job. That's a way to the library. That's a way out of the house, whatever it is, maybe perhaps
it's,
out of a bad situation.
It's transformative in so many ways because the other thing I always like to say is too, if you see a bunch of kids riding bikes around, it changes the neighborhood.
That's a great point.
A higher crime neighborhood, suddenly they see kids riding around on bikes. And I mean, there's even a lot of hardened criminals are going to be like, hey, dude, there's kids down the road.
That's interesting.
Let's go do this over here.
Was that intentional?
I don't know because, I mean, in many cases, I mean, it was always, a lot of cases, the Akron area. So
and the police were always involved in choosing the 100%. Neighborhood too.
They would always help out. The Akron Police Department was great with it. Another police department was Barberton.
Barberton
they were
was phenomenal.
Phenomenal with it.
Yeah.
I actually just talked with the Chief Morber a couple of weeks ago for a project that I have. But really, when you see that, it's to go in and really the purpose was to change the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And whether it be just the freedom to get to after school programs, be it, hey, these kids aren't going to get anything. They're getting a present for Christmas.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many things and we don't think about those after effects. But I would drive through a lot of the neighborhoods 2, 3, 4 weeks later just to say, OK, do I see anything?
Yeah.
Do I see some of these bikes? I drove through one of the neighborhoods we hit, last year in Barberton, and I saw Elves and More bikes and I saw kids out on Elves and More bikes. And I'm like, yep, it made a difference.
Yeah. That's super cool. Super
Plus,
cool.
Plus all you have to do is affect one kid and 1,000 people working together for a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon is worth it.
100% worth it. So I think it was 2 years ago, we actually had a kid that received a bike.
Yep.
Years ago, is now an adult.
And came back and he brought his kids to build.
To build. Yep. I remember that being a pretty special moment. It was pretty cool.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about podcasts.
We're doing that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. Yeah. Well, so I know you as a videographer and a photographer or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, our paths crossed again, recently in the last year or two. And it crossed more aligned with business rather than this nonprofit that we were involved with, right? So, and you've recently got involved with the chamber and, built this amazing studio here. I mean, it's incredible. And we've got people adopting it and taking advantage of what you've created here. But I knew you as a photographer and a videographer, but talk to me about the transition into or expanding the service of the podcast and what made that a natural fit.
It's twofold for me. I mean, it's video. There's
It's still
know,
video.
I don't know if you noticed. There's cameras around here.
I don't pay it. Well, it adds 30 pounds. So I'm pretending they're not there.
Same here. Same here.
What cameras?
I don't see any cameras. There's two goofy guys on a television screen right there.
I don't see that.
I don't see
Well, I'm trying cameras. Not to look at that either.
Yeah, no.
That's weird.
So there's actually two main pieces to it. First off, I love stories. I love hearing from people. In the previous podcast, they talked about your curiosity for things. Ned talked about that with you.
Sure.
I have that same curiosity. To sit here and listen to the stories that I get to hear, well, to sit there and the stories that I get to hear are absolutely awesome. To hear people do those types of things, talk about those things, I have learned an incredible amount, be it a news podcast or be it a leadership podcast. I just get to sit back there and learn so much. And it's really, really, really cool. So that's a big part of it. The other part of it was for me is a lot of clients that I work with. I mean, there's companies out there I work with companies that have $700 million a year that they move through their companies. For them to do a video and write a $10,000, $15,000 check for that, not a big deal. That's an accounting rounding error.
Sure.
For so many other people, they're probably not. I mean, if they write a $10,000 or $15,000 check, that's 7/8 of their budget for the year. Maybe that's a third of their pay for the year. So for me to have this studio here as an entry level, as a step for someone to walk into and to be able to create content, to raise their business, to gain their business, to move their business forward and for them to present, to me, I thought was a huge opportunity. So it's that two-pronged thing. I get to hear some really cool stories and I get to help some other businesses in the process.
Well, I 100% agree with all of that. I mean, it makes so much sense. And in the content, I mean, selfishly, I love that people create content in here because then where you stop, I start,
right?
You know, which is phenomenal to me. We get more content to turn into other content
and other stuff. And it's to me, it's the thing that I've really realized. It's funny. I've made a shift, from when I started the video business 4 or 5 years, 6 years ago. Wow. That hurts. Time flies. So I started the business 6 years ago and it was like, hey, we're going to do high value production for the dollar. And then I evolved into, we partner with your business. And that's still a thing that we do, is we partner with businesses to say, look, I mean, so many businesses come in and say, hey, we want a video and it's going to work. We want a video of this, this, and this. And me, the partnership part is like, what's your goal for this video?
Right.
Let's take it back. Right. Let's become partners in this. We do video.
Yes.
Let's make sure we're going to accomplish your goal. So that I kind of positioned us as the video partner. And then I realized, you know what? It's much simpler. Success is a shared thing. So if you're successful, we're going to be successful. So we're going to do whatever we can to help whoever around us be successful. And you guys obviously have a great toolkit for helping businesses with that, but there's components that you need that are outside of that. Same thing for us. Ton of tools out there that we don't have, that we don't, I mean, and it's find people that can help you be successful.
Right.
And that for us has been the biggest, the shift that I've kind of made in the last 6 months is if you're successful, we're going to be successful. No problem.
You know, it's funny because I also think that I have a couple thoughts on the whole, like, what's the benefit to being on podcasts, having a podcast, whatever. But then I also think that as ego-driven as so many business owners are and people in general, it's funny that when you talk about, hey, you should do a podcast or you should get on video or you should do content with your face on it, all of a sudden that weird ego kind of goes out the window and they don't see themselves as the type of person that has a podcast or like, well, what would I say? Nobody wants to hear me and whatever. Talk to me a little bit about, yeah, they do, number one, and there's a hell of a lot more benefit to it than just what they're thinking. It's not just this.
No.
Yeah.
So it's funny because the ego side, there's two points to the ego side that I have seen. There's the ego side of, well, I mean, no one wants to hear from me. And that comes from like, people don't think they're an expert in what they do. They do it all the time.
Which is a whole freaking other problem.
Right, right, yeah, right.
That's an issue.
You spend 40 hours a week doing this. I mean,
and people write checks to you for doing it. And if you don't think you're an expert,
right,
that's a problem.
Why the hell are you doing it?
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be getting paid to train.
You are. And the other thing is it's funny. So many people, they do something and they do it as an island. I've got that podcast that I do for the city of Barberton and the people in Barberton, Barberton has such an amazing sense of community.
You are such a cheerleader for Barberton.
And the thing that's cool about it, the thing that's, I guess I would say that's what's neat about it. What's bad about it is the people that are in Barberton that have never left Barberton don't realize that no other communities have that special thing.
No context.
So people that, they're becoming this expert, they're like, well, everyone else knows the same stuff I do. No, they don't.
Yeah.
And that is the big difference. That is that difference maker, because those people, they're like, well, if I know it, everyone knows it. No, you have put this information together in your own special way. Come on in, get on camera and spew it out. What people also worry about is, once again, ego driven. What happens if someone calls me out or someone says I'm wrong, or what if I mess up? Well, I always tell them that's for me to worry about, because we will sit behind that desk. And if you, sound like Porky Pig or something like that, singing Blue Christmas, we will cut that part out if we need to.
What happens?
If you have a ukulele and can play that song, that's my favorite Christmas song,
I kind of want to do that now. Blue Christmas. I'm going to look into it.
Please do. Please do.
I'll see if I can find the sheet music.
Yeah. 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 No, that is my favorite Christmas song, which should tell you something about me and why we get along.
Yes. Yes. Man.
It's what we do.
Porky Pig. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that ego thing is just, it's really interesting to me that the not believing that you're the expert. Or not understanding, it's not really not believing that you're the expert, not understanding that everybody doesn't have that same expertise. Right. Because it's also the same way that they talk about their businesses when they do, right? So that industry jargon, the overwhelming way that folks speak, you know, if you start telling me that I should do a podcast by explaining your Rode mics and your monitors and whatever, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I have no idea. Am I going to look good? Am I going to sound good? And is anyone going to give a shit? Is anyone going to give a shit is actually the value proposition.
Correct.
That's actually it. And what connections am I going to make by doing it? That's to me, that's really, it's a much, for the marketing brain in me says that's really the interesting part about doing a podcast, is I can ask whoever I want to be on my podcast.
For sure. And
I can't ask just anybody to do business with me, because that's freaking weird.
Correct. If you go up to someone in the street and be like, hey, can we share audiences? They're going to be like, do I need to wear protection for this, or something of that?
Yes, you do.
To me, the thing about this, and I repeat this on some of the stuff I do all the time, the easiest way to expand your audience is to go use someone else's.
Yeah, borrow someone else's.
And we're going to share this on each other's platforms.
Right. Because we 100% have opportunity to share clients.
Oh,
and
yes.
And should. They're creating amazing content here. I would like to use it. To create it elsewhere as
go
well.
Out. Go out. Take dollar bills out with you and make friends.
And multiply.
Yeah.
Like
no,
rabbits.
It makes sense. Yeah. Go out there. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're a dollar bill, don't wear protection. Go out and make sure that you come back with something and be good.
It's just such an easy ask. Hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And now, 100%. And now it's an impossibility. Sort of if you go to lunch with somebody, that's a fairly intimate thing to do. I don't invite people I don't like to lunch generally. I don't because it sucks. But at the end of lunch, you've had some conversation, yeah. right? And you're both hopefully a little better off for it. It's kind of hard to sit at a table with two mics back and forth if you have any clue and you have a professional running the show to not have some sort of a relationship at the end of that, right? That should go somewhere somehow. And people mistake that doesn't mean I'm going to do business with you. I might do business through you, cool. or I might make connections through you. It's the through, not with, that I think folks misunderstand about what the opportunity of doing a podcast is.
It's amazing the connections that, I mean, because with the people that come through the studio, there's one that I have that's hilarious. A guest in here does a healthcare podcast, talks about burnout with healthcare, stuff like that. Had CEO of a fairly large, direct primary care type practice in the area. My doctor told me a couple of weeks ago, he goes, "Hey, I'm changing practices. It's going to be a couple of miles away." And he goes, he's like, "If you'd like to follow me." And my doctor, I've been great. And, I'm like, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to be at community healthcare." I'm like, "Oh, you're going to be working for Brady." And he's like, "Yeah. How do you know him?" I'm like, "Oh, he's been a podcast guest."
Yeah.
And it's just those connections that you right. make and those conversations that you have and those people that you talk to. The other thing is, we've known each other for a long time. We talk a fair bit. Our Facebook messenger chain has got to be 25, 30 feet long.
Right.
We're still sitting here. We're going to learn something because, we're doing a podcast too for my stuff. And I'm going to ask you some questions where I know I'm going to learn something about you I didn't know.
Yeah.
The same thing here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how best, what would you say to the folks that are sort of on the fence? They sort of know that they should be doing something. Sort of, I'll start with, do you realize you're a marketer yet? Ha ha. Because you are.
It's getting there.
Yeah. But the thing is, Do people, what would you say to the person that sort of knows that they need to be doing something, right? I get it all the time. Oh, I need to do social media. And I'm like, well, do you? Number one, maybe you shouldn't be. But what's the goal? What is the goal? What do you think that that's going to get you? And let's talk through what we actually want out of that. And the checking the box, let's make sure that we actually have expectations. Right. Maybe they're higher than even what you think. It's not just a box that you check, right? So I think that podcasting is it falls into sort of that same category.
It does. So what's funny about it is there's two things that people, they're like, I don't have any topic ideas. One of the things that we do is we've got a sheet where we send out to people. We come up with the first 10 topics.
Yeah.
Because the first, most people show up, they've got three or four ideas. And like, yeah, these are my podcasts. And then number four, they're like, oh, what do I do?
What do you do next?
Right.
Yeah.
About like seven or eight, all of a sudden the ideas just come flooding into you. You're like, oh, yeah. I talked about this, which could lead to that. And I talked about that, that's how we help them get over that first hurdle. The second thing is we'll have people in to just sit down in front of the mic. It's not painful. It's not bad. No one's going to care about the extra. You said it was 30 pounds that the camera adds. In my professional opinion, it's at least 30.
I think it's 80.
It could be. so no one's going to care about that. It's you're going to look at yourself in the camera and you're going to look at every imperfection. Whereas everyone else is just seeing your eyes. They're seeing your hands. They're looking you as a person. And when you finally realize that, hey, I am a person, I am not a collection of imperfections. People are looking at me as a person and as an expert. Once we show you that side, then it becomes a little bit easier. It's the same thing like when you say, hey, look, the social media can be effective if done correctly.
Right.
A lot of us have done social media poorly. I'm sure you see it all the time.
It's the object of much discussion.
Correct. But when someone comes in, we can show them that, hey, you can look good. You can sound good.
Right.
You are the expert. Social media can be of value to people.
Let us make you look like you are.
Correct. That's the big difference. Let us turn you into the expert, whereas you do the same thing for them.
So the way that you just described coming up with podcast topics, it mirrors exactly how folks can and should create content on their website.
I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure.
So, you know, if we're trying to create content around a brand, we're going to do the same thing. What topics do you need to be known for?
Yep.
And then what is your audience asking about those topics? And then we're going to create a tree of interlinking topics and a plan for the next year, right? That mirrors exactly what you're talking about. If I was going to do content for a person, for personal branding, same exact thing, except you don't only want to be known for business topics, right? You want to be known for, like with you, it would be like motorsports and some of these other things, right? Bicycles.
The difference is too, is you guys are going to go into depth, is you guys are going to be internet/keyword based. You're going to help them rank.
Sure.
The topics we're going to give them are going to be like, look, what are you noticing and what are you comfortable about?
Yep.
So we're going to approach it from a different angle, which I think is awesome, because now we've got two approaches. We can help someone start. We can help them get going, because of course, if you give them a topic to talk about that maybe not the most comfortable for them, still good.
Yep.
Highly relevant to their business, everything like that, but maybe not their biggest area of comfort, they may appear awkward for that first episode or two. If we get them the low if we get them the low hanging fruit right off the bat to talk about what are the 10 most things that you can talk about in your sleep.
Yep.
Then once they're 10 episodes in, people have got it figured out. They're like, okay, I know how to do this. This is a microphone. It's not scary. I have never seen this bite anyone.
I think we will, right? But not yet. I mean, the machines are taking over. Maybe it will at some point.
Right, right. Yeah, no, with AI, this microphone could punch me. It hasn't yet. Yeah. I will admit that I have fully deserved it.
God. So how does somebody get started? You do like an initial consultation. I know.
We do.
So what does that look like? How does somebody get in touch with you?
It's that first question. What are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
If they just say, hey, I want to be a big star in podcasting, we may not be the right people. Mm-hmm. If someone says, hey, look, I want to build my brand, I want to build content, we are on the right track. We will send them a sheet that basically it takes you 15, 20 minutes to fill out that asks some basic questions. Who's your target market? Who are you going for? Why are you going for them? What value are you giving them when they click on your podcast? What value are they going to get from it? That is another big one. Beyond that, we'll go over that. We help them set up. We help them run a show, graphics, the whole nine yards. People can literally come in, sit in front of the microphone, leave, and everything is taken care of.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That is true. That is exactly what happens.
We do what we do, so you can do what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to front load that conversation. You know, it really is. So website,
pedalstopperproductions.com, and you can even book the studio right there, as you have done multiple times.
I have. Yeah. It couldn't be easier.
No. And it's fun.
And I even got a reminder, which is good because I forgot that I was doing things. It happens.
I would send a reminder every 20 minutes, but the program won't let me.
For me? Just me?
No. No, I would. There's a few. There's a few. There's a few.
I'm definitely on that list.
Yeah. Maybe.
All right, you ready for the rapid fire round?
Yeah, no, I studied.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I changed it up for you.
Oh, man.
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'm going to get some of these wrong then.
Brussels sprouts, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Like prepared any sort of way? Like you like them like steamed and mushy or like fried with the aioli?
Steamed and mushy, sauteed in butter. Either way, love them.
They're like baby cabbage.
Yeah, they are.
Early bird or night owl?
You've seen messages from me at 3 a.m. So yeah, early bird.
Well, I don't know which. Is that the tail end or is that the beginning?
No,
awake when those come in. It depends.
That's the beginning for me.
Yeah. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee.
Yeah. Innovation or tradition?
I really have to go with innovation on that. I will give a nod to tradition. A wise man a smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Mm-hmm. And that is how we have many traditions. But we would still be communicating with grunts and rocks if we didn't have innovation.
What's wrong with grunts and rocks? I think
it depends on the day.
Well, I think it might solve a few things, frankly.
That's true. That's very true.
What's one word that encapsulates your journey?
Adventure.
I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, for a lot of years, I have, I didn't really realize it, but I've worked in motorsports. I've worked in the automotive. I've worked in agriculture. I've worked in photo video. I've worked in trucking. I have gone where I've wanted to because I thought it was interesting, and it very much has been, and I've got the stories to back it up.
Yeah, and it's not just your adventure. It's the adventure that you're capturing of other people's.
100%.
Right? And which leads me to the, I mean, we definitely got to your secret ingredient. It's the storytelling.
Yeah, that's what I love.
And that's what it is. What's your favorite sandwich, Josh?
I thought about this, and I didn't need to think very hard or very long. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I know a lot of people are going for like ginormous, like big whatever sandwiches, but to me, there is nothing better than throwing a couple of PB&J sandwiches in the saddlebags of the motorcycle, taking off for the middle of nowhere, sitting on the side of a gravel road where I don't even get cell phone reception, pulling out a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and just listening to nature and wondering what's going to smell the sandwich and attack me.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with a PB and blank. I like PB and pickle. I like PB and apple butter.
That one.
I like PB and honey.
I
like a PB and something. Actually, jelly is probably about fourth on my list. And
oh no, it's the top one for me.
Nothing wrong with a PB and blank.
That sweetness for me is.
You got to try the pickle. The pungence. Do you like pickles?
I do. I love pickles.
The pungence of the pickle, it's almost an Asian-y kind of...
How does that keep in a saddlebag next to a hot exhaust?
Well, I've never been in a saddlebag next to an exhaust with my PB and pickle, so I am unsure.
I may test that.
Likely not well.
I will take a backup sandwich in case.
Yeah, maybe PB and salmon also should not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, probably not.
No.
No.
All right, my man. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Always a good conversation.
For sure.
Awesome. All right. We'll tune in next time to The Secret Ingredient from the Digital Sandwich. I'm Adam, and make it a good one.
I like that.